Now, I'm joined in the studio by Megan Berry. And Megan is the Traveller Outreach Officer at Maynooth University, where she gained her Master's in Social Science, Community and Youth Work. And she also worked as Community Development Worker on Violence Against Women at Pavey Point. Good afternoon, Megan.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Good. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks. We've so much to talk about. We've loads of time.
Yep.
I want to find out about you and then what you do. And then we'll have general chats about education and the traveller community. But first, let's find out a little bit about yourself.
Brilliant.
Originally from?
I'm originally from Carlow, moved to Cork, back to Carlow.
Right. And how long have you been in Carlow now?
I've been in Carlow, I would say, about 9 years, 8 or 9 years, yeah.
Okay. We better specify from the outset that you're in an elite group of travellers in that you have gone to third level education.
Yeah.
And according to the most recent figures, only 1% of your community reached third level. So that's the sort of the background to what we're talking about today. You're a family of?
13.
Whereabouts are you?
Right in the middle.
Are
six
you?
Above, six under, yeah.
right. Brilliant. So you had to do something to be noticed.
Had to do something, yeah.
So you went off to college. Wow, what's the age range?
This could be so wrong. I'm so bad at keeping the names.
No,
the
ages but
and names. Yeah. I would say from 12 to 33.
Right.
Yeah. The youngest is 12, oldest 33.
And you're 25, 26?
I'm 25.
25, okay.
Yeah.
So talk to us then a little bit about your experience in education, right from primary school up.
Yeah, so I had a very widespread variety of different education. I would have spent the last 25 years in the education system across four primary schools, two secondary schools, a college and a university. I'm working in a college at the minute, so, you know, I haven't stepped out of that yet. But I don't think I want to.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's been a fantastic experience for me. As I said a minute ago, very different schools were to the secondary schools, and then again different experiences in college, so it's been a lot of going, a lot of moving.
Okay. So as a member of the travelling community, can you remember when you first realised that there was something different about you in a school setting?
Yeah, I think it was, and it was actually my proudest moment.
Was it?
It was during my junior cert, actually, because I always done very well in school. I always enjoyed school, you know, but I got really good marks, like, in the junior cert, and I remember going for a drive with Daddy afterwards, and he said, that's brilliant, Megan, like, not a lot of travellers go on or do anything like that, you know. So then I was thinking, well, actually, I hadn't a clue that travellers don't, you know, progress, or that there was no good outcomes, and I hadn't seen travellers progressing, you know. And I, when he said that to me, then I thought, well, it actually must be a big thing, you know. So it was a very proud moment. And my sister.
So that's interesting. So you reached the age of 15.
Yeah, I'd say about 15. Yeah.
Without knowing that a lot of people in your community didn't go further than that.
Yeah. Well, do you know what I seen? I seen people doing the same thing all the time. You know, we have very high levels of unemployment rate in the community, and, you know, lack of access to employment and education. But I didn't know what the issues were. I was too young to understand that kind of thing.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't see anyone in my community progress. And I didn't think about college. College wasn't something we spoke about. School wasn't something, you know, that was the main.
So what were the main things then? When you spoke about your future, what did you speak about?
Well, we didn't speak of, like, we spoke about, you know, traditional kind of things. It was more so family was a huge thing. It was settling down. It was children. A lot of my brothers and sisters would have left school early, and that's the route they would have taken, and they're very happy.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them. But I suppose even in school, it wasn't something we were asked, you know, or, you know, what are you going to do in years to come or something? It just,
You weren't asked that. Were the settled children asked?
I think, like, I can recall from experience, we were all asked together, but, you know, for me, I don't think there was very high expectations.
Right.
If I'm being honest, yeah.
No, but that's interesting you say that, because, you know, I've been doing a bit of research on this, and this is just across the board, not just traveller children, but where teachers have low expectations of children in school, then oftentimes the children meet the teacher's expectations, as in they don't achieve much.
Yeah, so if the teacher, like, believes in you, and, you know, you're going to flourish, you're going to do well, because you know that that's what the expectation is. But unfortunately, like, if you're if you have a teacher that's like, oh no, well, you know, we know not a lot of travellers make it in education. Travellers don't want an education. That there can be kind of that stereotype, which, you know, we'd love an education, but unfortunately a lot of barriers there. But yeah, I suppose
We're going to talk about that because there's pressures from within your community and from outside your community.
Yeah.
So just on your story, we'll stay with your story for the moment. So you did your junior cert and did you leave school then?
Yeah. Right. So I left. I went back in. I was doing my fourth year and I always, as I said earlier, I loved school. So I wanted to do everything in school. But I left school in during my fourth year and I was thinking, do you know what, maybe it's not for me. And that kind of staying at home gave me a bit of perspective. You know, it wasn't something I wanted to do. I was a bit bored. There was nothing to get up. Like, I was so used to going to school every single day. I don't think I missed a day. That when I had left in fourth year and when I had moved to Carlow, I was thinking, do you know what?
So you're doing nothing, just sitting at home?
Doing completely nothing, yet.
Okay. And would that be common?
Well, I suppose, you know, when I had moved, it's different in every family. Do you know, we're not a homogenous group.
No,
everybody
of course.
Don't do the same thing.
I know. I didn't say that everybody knew. I said it was a common. Yeah.
It's common. Like, I'll speak to my experience as, you know, my family, they would have got married or they would have moved on, had children or, you know, that kind of way. But for me, I didn't. So my own experience of sitting at home, you know, that was...
Well, you were too young to get married anyway, weren't you?
Yeah, I'd say I was. Or even thinking about it.
So you got bored then?
Yeah. And I remember going into... My brother was saying to me, do you know what? We might get you into one of the youth reaches in Carlow or the youth centres, but I'm not sure if, you know, there was space or... And I knew it wasn't for me because I loved school. And I remember going into the secondary school then in Carlow and just, you know, saying I'd love to carry on my fifth and sixth year if it was possible. Yeah.
And they said...
That was the following year after I dropped out of fourth year.
Okay, right. So you're only a year out, really.
Yeah.
A year out, right.
Thank
and then
God.
You went on, got your leaving cert, went on to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you had that chat about going back to school...
Yeah.
...with your family, how did that go?
Well, I suppose, you know, my family... I don't think they really understand, you know, what college is. I never understood what college was when somebody first said it to me because it wasn't spoken about much in my family. So I think, you know, and then... The value in education, if my parents hadn't a great experience or my brothers and sisters, it's very hard for them to value, you know, well, going back to school. And, you know, the way they went about it, they'd done completely different things they were very happy with. And that was a traditional thing in my family. So when...
What sort of things did they do?
As I said earlier, they got married, they had children.
Oh, yes, right. Okay.
You know, like my older brothers and sisters. So that was the norm and that was what people were content and happy with. That was the plan. So I suppose when I was going back to education, it was a lot of fear. You know, well, look, what are you going to educate? What are you going on for? You're not going to get a job. You know, high levels of discrimination and things like that. And I think...
So they were saying, why bother?
Why bother? That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they, and it's not, it didn't come from a malicious place, obviously.
No.
It came from a fear of, you know, you could spend 25 years in the education system, come out the other side of it, and you're not guaranteed a job.
Because
you know
you're still a traveller.
Because you're a traveller. Yeah, that's a common issue that is happening, do you know? And it's a common fear in the community. It was a fear of my own. Is it going to be a waste of my time? Am I doing all these placements, all this commute and all of this work, you know, on a... Am I going to get a job or anything out at the end of it? Is there any incentive? Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, it's interesting there you say it's a fear.
Yeah.
A fear. And it's an understandable fear. Why run the risk of failure when you can just do what everybody else did?
Yeah. And I suppose the thing for me was the support. Do you know, from like... I would say the support from the school system. It was, you know, my secondary school, it was telling, well, you will get a job, you can do it. And that kind of kept me going. It was all of the encouragement and, you know, the support along the way. And I think something that I really value is that saying, you know, you have to see it to be it.
Right.
So role models in the community, you know, travellers who have gone through the education system. I hadn't seen that at a local level. And when I had done a placement, I first done my placement actually in Pabbie Point and, I got to see, that was during my undergrad in social care. So I got to see, you know, a lot of travellers in various aspects of employment and who have come up through the education system, which for me, it was a little bit of hope. It was some kind of light at the end of the tunnel. But actually, if they can do it, I can do it.
Mm.
And I think that's something that's so important to the generations now that are in school and that are looking at going to college, but have these kind of fears.
And that's part of your job in Maynooth. And we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
So out of the 13 children then, how many have gone to third level?
So me, I was the first, but my sister now, she's completing, which is fantastic. You know, she's completing her degree now in law in Waterford, which is absolutely amazing because, you know, it's it goes to show the fear of education kind of diminishes when you see outcomes.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
And why do you think, we've discussed the fear of failure, but I suppose there's probably, it sounds to me, a fear of the unknown as well.
The fear of the unknown, yeah, because, you know, with travellers, we're very much used to expecting the worst, you know, no matter where we go in society, expecting discrimination, you know, pretending to be somebody that we're not, changing our identity, hiding our identity. And I suppose that can be very challenging, you know, and particularly when you step into the education system, you might have teachers, you might have lecturers that only have the best intentions for you, but you're going in with that fear.
Yes.
Okay, and you mightn't disclose due to the fear.
It's sort of hardwired into you.
And that's exactly, it's internalised.
Yes, internalised. Yes. Now, let's talk a bit about that and try and tease it out. And let's use ordinary language as opposed to your degree language. So they're fearful of it. And then how do they feel then about you? Because you are now a minority of a minority.
Yeah.
So you are different in your own community because you're one of the very few people who've gone to third level education.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd hope that I'd be different in a good way.
Yeah.
And, you know, as in like, to see it, to be it kind of a model, you know, where I've done it and I know that all of travellers coming up in the education system can do it as well. Do you know? I know that they have the capability. We do. Parents want their children to have an education.
Right.
But it's about, you know, really assuring them that the value is there. Firstly, that, you know, the schools can create the conditions for traveller children to be a part of the curriculum.
And is it often, because you mentioned that statistic about the number, the percentage of your community who are unemployed, which is?
84%.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is the link made between education and employment?
Yeah, of course. I think that's a huge link because, you know, you need degrees, you need certificates, you need all this kind of stuff. As you were mentioning earlier outside, you know, the value of the tradesmiths and tinsmiths years ago, that's kind of changing.
Yes.
You know, that's not valued anymore. So in order for travellers to look ahead and see, well, what else can we do and go into a job? Well, they need to go back and they need certificates for all that kind of stuff. But if you're stepping into a place where you're being discriminated against, you know, or that will tell you when you walk in the door, look out for travellers, you know.
Yeah.
It's very
now,
hard.
Have you experienced discrimination in the education system?
In the education system, I always kind of outshine it with the positive experiences because the positive experience for me, I think.
That's not answering my question, Megan.
I did. I won't tell a lie. I did. And I have to be very honest. You know, I actually experienced discrimination from a very primary level. And, you know, just the kind of assumptions that the teacher knows best. They know what you're going to do. They don't, you know what I mean? They're not going to take on your perspective or what you want to do. I remember there was often times where...
Don't,
you know,
name anybody.
Yeah, of course. Of course. No, there was often times, you know, where I suppose it's the exclusion. Do you know what I mean? And it doesn't happen in all schools. As I said, I've had great experiences throughout the education
system.
What
sort of exclusion? Excluded from what?
Yeah, well, from the academic curriculum. I mean, I remember being in a class one time and I was put to the back of the class with another traveller girl and we were put at the back to colour in with, you know, markers. And we thought that was great sport. You know, we were saying, thank God for this. We don't have to do the workshop. Any child that age is going to be that delighted, you know.
Yes.
But when I kind of grew up, I was thinking, well, actually, and when I got to grips with everything, that was... Like, we had the right, education is a constitutional right. We had the right to be a part of that curriculum. We had the right to be in there and learning with all the rest of the children and being taught history and geography like everyone else. And the impacts of that colouring in and where you are, like where your capacity is and all that kind of stuff, you're left behind, you know?
Yeah. I was reading some stuff last night and a lot is made of the fact that your culture and history isn't included anywhere in school books.
Yeah.
And did you get a sense of that? And was there something you would think should be changed?
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I didn't think anything of it. Like, you know, when you're a child, you don't think of that kind of stuff because your culture is not valued. You don't see anyone talking about travellers in the school. So you don't talk about travellers unless it's, you know, unless somebody comes up and says something to you that might be derogative. But I suppose I think I can see the huge value and the importance of that because sometimes teachers have lack of awareness. You know, maybe it's not coming from a bad place. It's just that they don't understand. And training is so important to understand traveller students, you know, and to understand where they're coming from because when you come from a minority group or a marginalised group, education is not going. Your issues with education is not going to be the only thing. You know, there might be huge issues with accommodation and where you're coming from. You know, so
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And in your work, and we'll be skipping to and from you and your work now, but we live in a much more multicultural society in Ireland now than we did 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of experience, but anecdotally, I think, unfortunately, when we're talking about inclusion and diversity and all that, oftentimes the travelling community isn't included in that chat.
Yeah.
That must be frustrating.
I think that's the issue. You know, there's nothing about us without us. You won't know what way to go or how to support travellers or include travellers or create conditions at least for travellers to get the education if you're not getting the conversations with the travellers and looking at the real issues that are on the ground.
Yeah. I was saying that there's discrimination or there's things going on within the community and outside the community. And within the community, is there a fear that if you become, like, I'm going to use this phrase, too educated, that you might lose your culture and your tradition?
I don't think it, like, I think it's a fear of losing your identity in the community, but I don't think it's due to being too educated. I think it might be, you know, sometimes we get too used to, if we're going into a place and we're afraid of the unknown and we change our identity, it's very hard to maintain two identities, you know.
Right.
So you can go one way or the other, and if you go one way, you can lose it, and it's quite sad. But, and that's what some of the older generation would say, you know, she's gone too posh, or that kind of way.
Would that have been said about you?
Yeah.
You're gone too
posh.
You have notions above your station.
Yeah, I do. I'm only messing.
No, but this is interesting. No, because it all sort of informs what's going on.
Yeah.
If there's a fear within the community that if you are educated that you become too posh or whatever, and you lose your identity.
It's not about being too posh.
No,
but
if you lose your identity, you know, it's different words probably for roughly the same thing.
Yeah.
But then that's not going to paint a good picture of education within the community, is it?
Yes, but the thing is, like, it's not, I don't blame the student, because nobody in the whole world is obliged to identify as anything, do you know what I mean? Or they don't have to disclose that they're a traveller, they can keep that to themselves. That's something that, you know, they're not obliged to share with anybody. But I think for themselves, that's the hard part. It's not the hard part for the community, it's the hard part of maintaining two identities, you know, and how...
But they shouldn't have to, should they?
They shouldn't have to, no. They should be allowed to go into a space where they will be accepted for who they are, and they don't have to change their identity.
But that refers to... Yeah. You know, in college and at home.
Yeah.
You know, there's two, because there's two worlds that you live in.
Yeah, so you could step into the doors of college, you know, or something that I always say, if I was going in somewhere and I really needed to, you know, if I knew that they had a reputation of being derogative or discriminating, I would wear a coat and I'd have my hair up or something. I just do something different because I know, or I talk. You have to change your identity sometimes to be accepted. And unfortunately, that is the way. And then when you come back out, you're back to yourself, you know, and that's only a short period. That could only be for 10 minutes, right? But the thing is, when you have to do that constantly and do it for 3 or 4 years across the education system or whatever way it might be, how mentally draining can that be on students when they're not allowed to have pride in who they are?
Well, they know psychologically that if you're living a lie, the gap between who you really are and who you're pretending to be, the bigger the gap, the more likely you are to suffer mental health issues.
And it's really sad because that tells us, like, there's something wrong with the system, you know, that...
Okay, so people view your community as what, do you think? In 2022 in Ireland, how do you think your community is viewed by the majority of people? This is just your opinion now.
Well, honestly, I would say that, you know, not much changes, do you know, going back to 1963 and the commission of the itinerancy report, there was very high levels of discrimination. And when you get, like, when you get a stereotype, that if you get a prejudice, it turns into a stereotype. Stereotype turns into racism. Racism turns into discrimination. And that is not just directed at one person in the community, is directed at everybody. And that doesn't just cause issues with, like, psychologically or mentally, but access to services then, you know, it causes issues in so many regards. And then the health determinants are going to be so much worse when people have low access to, you know what I mean?
The outcomes aren't good, are they? And we know about young traveller men are 7 times more likely to take their own lives through suicide.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? How would you explain that statistic?
I don't think
there's
any way to explain it. I think it's extremely, like, it's a very stark statistic for a community that only comprises less
40,
than 1%
yeah.
of the
yeah.
population, do you know? And it's a very harrowing statistic. So I don't think there is any way to explain it, but it goes to show that there's something wrong, you know, something wrong with the structures, that the impacts of discrimination, the impacts of not getting an education,
yeah.
not having an aspiration, not being able to do something that will occupy you, that you have passion with. Do you know, if you have nothing to look forward to,
it's going to
have a huge impact on your mental health.
How, as you, your job is Traveller Outreach Officer at Maynooth University. So your job, I think I said it in the promo, is to try and get more traveller, members of the travelling community to get through the educational system successfully.
Yeah.
And go beyond junior cert and into third level. And to make that 1%, let's get it 2, 3, 4, double figures.
Yeah.
And then equal with the settled community eventually. That's the aim, isn't it?
That's the aim, yeah.
Yeah. How are you going about that?
Well, I suppose it's a huge question, okay? For me, my role in Maynooth is providing targeted information and supports to prospective traveller students in schools and to learners in the community, you know, who are thinking about going to college, who might have fears of going to college. So it's about reaching out to them and, you know, letting them know that the access is here and these are the routes you can go through and this is the financial support that's available. I suppose something that's really important as well is, you know, when students come into the university, it's about really supporting them through their experience, you know, over the 4 years, and then supporting them out of the college. I work on an outreach team of four. So when you say, what are you doing to increase traveller participation? Behind me, you know, there's loads of travellers across universities in Ireland that are working in the area of education.
Yeah.
You know, the NGOs have been working for strategies to provide targeted mainstream supports for travellers across primary, post-primary and third level for don't know how long. And then you have the universities, the access offices, you know, they're doing fantastic work to support travellers. And I know Maynooth have always had a great reputation of, you know, not just traveller progression, but traveller retention and then success also on the other side.
Yeah. We spoke to Anne-Marie McDonough.
Yeah.
I think she's a social worker there last year. And she had gone into a group of traveller girls.
Yeah.
And she asked them this question, you know, could you see a traveller girl becoming a doctor, a solicitor or a barrister or whatever, dentist?
Yeah.
And the answer she got was
no.
No. Yeah.
Mm. And it's sad because, you know, in local areas, like in Dublin, you see so many travellers going on and progressing. You can see, but like in small little towns, it's very hard to get that. And when they don't see it, it's very hard to envision themselves in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't see it, you can't be it. That's the mantra, isn't it?
That's the mantra.
So if we get to a stage where it becomes just, you know, the norm for members of the travelling community to go to third level education, with education comes different attitudes. That's
yeah.
that's been proven
yeah.
throughout history.
Yeah.
You know, do you look at your community differently now that you've, you know, a third level degree and you're looking into things like, you know, society and how it works and
yeah.
discrimination and all that?
That's a really good question. But do you know what? I think I look at myself differently.
Right, go on.
Because I see myself, and it's something, conversations we would have had with lecturers, as, you know, very privileged to have been able to get an education. So it's about going back to the community and how can we support you? Do you know, how can we, as an outreach officer in Maynooth or as a community worker on the Violence Against Women programme in Pabbie Point, what can we do to really support the community? So how can we give back? And, you know, but I think from my own, I can see the impacts of, you know, internalised oppression. As we, and I know you were saying with the fancy language, but it's about like internalising all of that discrimination and racism that's been directed on you, do you know, and blaming yourself and blaming the community
yes.
for it. I can see the impacts of that.
Right.
But
that's been handed down as well, some of that.
Yeah.
Now, you've obviously experienced your own one-on-one discrimination.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
that some of that's handed on from generation to generation.
It can.
And I'm suggesting that maybe,
yeah.
and again, I'm not an expert, that maybe if you could break that cycle in some way,
yeah.
You know, and like, obviously the settled community and their prejudice and discrimination, they have a lot of work to do
yeah.
as well. But I think both communities have a lot of work to do. It's not one or the other, it's both.
Both, yeah. I think, again, it goes back to that, you know, if parents were seeing the value, if parents were seeing so many travellers going through the education system, coming out with good jobs at the end of it, doing what they want to do, they will have more hope and more value in the education system to place their children in that. But if they're coming from a place where they didn't have a great experience...
And they didn't, the majority of them didn't, let's be honest.
If they're coming from that kind of a space, it's very hard for
them... I know, we have to break the cycle, don't we?
I know, we have to break the cycle.
You have to break through. You've broken through.
We need more proof. I don't think the 1% is enough.
And that's 99%. That's why you're doing what you're doing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I see what you're saying, that because if you, as a parent, had a really bad experience in the educational system and your parental sort of intuition is to protect your child, well, then you don't want them to go into that system that scarred you, that discriminated against you.
Yeah.
You know, that's because you want to protect your child and yet you want an education for them. So it's difficult.
Yeah, and even so, like, you might see travellers, you know, as role models, but these travellers didn't get there by chance, you know, or didn't, do you know what I mean? They worked as hard as they could to get there, and there were so many barriers
against
and issues
the, all
in the
odds,
way, all of the odds, So, and I was speaking to a student the other day, and she was saying, we're the lucky ones, and they shouldn't be the lucky ones, there should be so many, do you know what I mean?
Education, she was the lucky ones. The
lucky one to get an education
in
Ireland, like, and you can see how sad that is, because it's a constitutional right, and it shouldn't be classed as lucky. It should be the norm. Everybody should have an education if they want it, obviously.
You liked school and you were good at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not everybody likes school. Not everybody's good at it. Yeah. So I suppose you will, a measure of your success and the people you work with will be when travellers who probably aren't that good at school and don't particularly like it, stick with it.
Yeah.
Because that's a real challenge.
And my
isn't it?
Job, you know, is not to go out to the communities or into the schools and say, well, you have to come on to education. You know, mainstream education doesn't suit everybody.
No.
You know, it's not that one shoe fit all approach. But it's my job is not about going in and forcing people into a system. It's about, you know, letting them know that access is there if they want to avail of it.
And the brilliant thing is that there's a change in emphasis now back to trades.
Yeah.
And Simon Harris, who's the Minister for Higher Education, is making sure that happens.
Yeah.
Because we sort of turned our backs on trades.
Of course,
And now there's a re-emphasis. And that might suit members of the travelling community in some ways. You know, same as it would members of the settled community. You have a big, big job of work, don't you?
Yeah, definitely do. Certainly, yeah. But it's great, you know.
And are both your parents alive?
Yeah, they are, thank God.
Yeah. And how do they feel about you?
Good, yeah. They're very proud. So they are. Mammy is delighted, you know. I can help her with everything that she needs help with now. They're all delighted.
And out of the 13, and don't answer this question if you feel uncomfortable with it, but would they all be able to read and write?
Yeah. They would, thank God.
And your parents?
Social media nowadays, it's hard not to be able to read and write.
And your parents read?
Mammy used to be, but she is now. And Daddy is very good, yeah.
Right, okay.
Thank God.
Hopefully that conversation we've had there has been enlightening for some of our listeners. I wish you well with everything.
Brilliant.
I'm sure we'll chat again.
Yeah.
Thanks, Megan.
Brilliant. Thanks
very
so
much.
Ray.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.